Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On series, where we interview Hollywood's hottest up-and-comers, veterans, and everyone in between. Today, I have the amazing cast of Nat Geo's brand new scripted docudrama, Valley of the Boom. We've got a lot to talk about, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
All right. A little 90s hip-hop we got going. Because
light show noise.
Yes, we got the strobes. For those listening on the podcast, we have a magenta strobe light going in the back.
God,
it's lit in here. You guys are hearing the voices of John Carna, Oliver Cooper, and Dakota Shapiro, who play the series regulars of National Geographic's brand new scripted docu kind of hybrid Valley of the Boom. I'm loving it. I can't wait to talk with you guys about it. Before we do, though,
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for being here. It's awesome to have you. Before we get into it, guys, my name is Jeff Graham. I will be moderating today's show, and I'm loving it, guys. It's been really enjoyable. It's been
That's really awesome.
Yeah, you guys are listening, kind of hearing a 90s sort of hip hop beat because that's very much the zeitgeist of the show.
Yeah,
we're set in Silicon Valley. I actually have a description of the show.
Oh, nice.
I want to see if you guys think I did a good job.
Okay, perfect.
Because sometimes when you read online, you read a log line, and you're like, I don't know if that's actually really what the show feels like. So here's what I've got. Valley of the Boom is a genre-bending docudrama about the early days of Silicon Valley, following the raucous personalities within three early internet startups, Netscape, the world's first browser, Globe.com, the world's first social media site, and Pixelon, the world's first video streamer.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one.
Description. I think that's better than I've seen it.
Yes!
But also, there is dancing and a rap battle and a John Woo-style Nerf gun.
What are you ruining?
I don't know. I mean,
it's good. It's
just
a major plot.
I guess this is
a lot of stuff.
Just tease
John.
It's good, though. That's one of my favorite things about the show is I think, you know, we're so used to stale presentations of history through kind of crusty documentaries, or we're used to super kind of over-stylized, serious kind of biopics or docudramas. And this doesn't want to do any of that. Like, this is very deliberately bending the rules.
That's all Matthew, the creator of the show. I just think that was what excited me when I read the script, too. It was just like, you're like, oh, this guy is trying to do something really different.
And he kept saying he wanted the show to be just as disruptive as the internet was.
Yeah, cool.
I
love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it kind of would have felt like a disservice to the personalities the show's serving if it was this crusty documentary.
Totally, because the characters are, I mean, a lot of them are, like, kind of ridiculous and really out. I mean, Steve Zahn particularly, you know? Like, we can't do something, this is a cold, stuffy documentary about Steve Zahn because he's just such a wild guy.
That's a crazy performance.
Oh,
I love
my
it.
God. Crazy. Yeah. It is truly, and it gets crazier.
Does it?
He's the most like his real, his character.
Is he?
Nah, I'm just joking.
That sounds dangerous. That's okay.
No, Steve Zahn is awesome.
He's one of the best people ever.
Honestly,
of actors I've ever worked with that are, like, you know, successful, the nicest human being I've ever worked with.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool. I mean, you guys are working with Bradley Whitford. Oh, you're working with Lamorne Morris. Like, it's really solid cast, and I want to get into it in a minute. I think the way I do want to discuss this show, guys, is I'm kind of going to go by character. Oliver and Dakota, I want to start with you guys, because you guys are playing...
Because we're the best.
Start with the best.
That's the saying, right?
John, you can go ahead and leave.
Okay, thank you.
We don't need you anymore.
No, I'm just kidding.
John's performance was a snooze fest.
No,
he's
I'm
just
actually,
quoting Variety. That's
actually
not.
No, you got some nice press, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was well, because you have a lot. We'll get to you,
but
have to speak to camera a lot. And you've got these really long wonders that you have to do.
It's true.
You're doing really good work,
thank
too. You guys are all doing great work on the show.
Thanks for coming to my defense.
You're
boys in this show.
No, I was reading some really nice press, because those wonders are really, really long for you. But so, Oliver and Dakota, you guys are playing Todd Kreiselman and Steph Paterno.
Yes.
Who are the founders of theglobe.com, which I would argue is like Facebook before
before Facebook, or even MySpace before MySpace.
Absolutely.
Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's sure. It's considered the first social network, really, which was just a completely new concept at the time. Which is, I think they thought of that.
But, you know, it's like Facebook's amazing. You know what it, you know, when they invented Facebook, but when those guys thought of the globe, the internet wasn't even something that anybody knew of. So it was like these guys were two steps ahead. Mm-hmm. It really is remarkable when you read. And I don't think anyone on the show really knew anything about the globe.
Yeah, and especially for how successful that company was.
It's a $1 billion company.
For a few years, it was like top of the stock market, and then it just completely went away. It's crazy.
It's wild. And what's interesting is you guys are playing real life.
Jacob's laughing. Top of the stock market. People say that.
I actually saw a commercial.
Top of the stock. Top of the stocks.
Steph sent us, like, he sent Dakota all this stuff, like, all, like, everything, every interview they ever did, and, like, commercials that they had shot that were on.
So good.
And I watched, he sent them to me, so I watched it all. And there was a commercial with the logo and the sound, and it was like all of a sudden, like the jingle, like I remembered it, like in some way, I remembered seeing it somewhere.
It's that weird nostalgia where you're like, oh, I've seen this.
You don't remember where that was.
Well, what I'm appreciating is I think I'm about your guys' age, and it's fun to be finally watching shows that are tapping into our nostalgia, you know?
Yeah, so
I'm loving Stranger Things. It's one of my favorite shows on TV, but I'm a little young for that show in terms of really, like,
really getting into the
80s. What's fun about this is I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when the internet sounded like robots were dying. Two tin cans.
Mom, thrill. Get off the phone!
Yeah.
How old are you?
27.
Okay, cool.
So it feels like I remember that time.
Do you remember the thrill of the first AIM message?
Oh my God. Wow. And you would talk to the people you wouldn't normally talk to.
I was much smoother on MSN Messenger
than I was in real life.
Yeah, that's how I am on text anyway. Everyone's just texting now, right?
We're all texting now.
I still have my same email address.
Do you?
That's no joke.
I was going to have you share it on air, but you probably shouldn't.
No, I don't want to.
Look, his address and personal number.
Yeah.
I do want to ask, though, what's everyone's AIM handle? Do you guys remember?
I had two very embarrassing ones.
So you have to share them.
My first one was Polka with the best of them.
That's cool.
It was a competitive because I loved Polka back then. Cool. I thought that was funny, and then I wanted to get a little edgier as I got into like eighth grade. Nice. So I went Go John Yourself, which is like a little aggressive.
It's also terrible.
It doesn't make any sense.
I honestly don't remember
Oliver's
having
big red butt at
gmail.com. I don't remember what AI, because I just remember AOL. I remember AIM, but I don't remember a username I had or something. Wasn't it the same?
Yeah, you had a username.
Wouldn't it have been the same?
No, you like had an AIM username that you created.
I don't remember it.
Maybe it was like your AOL email or something.
Yeah, it probably was just my AOL email, which I don't want to give because it's still my AOL. Here's the funny thing about having AOL email, though. It's like whenever I work on like professional stuff, and you're like, you know, the producer's like, oh, Oliver, let me email you the new pages or the new script, and they're like, what's your email? I'm like, and I give them this AOL.com, and it's like such a kid's email.
So embarrassing.
And everyone.
It's like gamer dude. 1, 2, 3.
I have to say, oh no, I still have my AOL. Like I don't even wait for a response. I just tell them that.
It's just quite. It's like your qualifier.
Yeah,
gnarly.
All right, Dakota. AIM.
I mean, mine wasn't. It was just Pablo, which was my dog's name.
Okay.
Aww. After Escobar, of course.
Nice.
And
of course.
Why not?
Kid growing up.
Australia loves like, Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, we're big. You know, good luck for us. And it was just Pablo hyphen Runo. My birth name is a rune, so that's why that was
Runo.
Runo, which is like
cool, like Bruno, but Runo. Nice.
That's cool.
Exactly. Well, I was Ninwiz because I love Nintendo, and I was a wizard.
You're a wizard.
So I'll start a four-person chat.
We'll get into a chat room.
Good. Okay, so let's get back to Todd and Steph, who you guys play on the show, founders of the Globe, as we were talking about. First of all, is this the first time you guys have portrayed real people? And what does that carry with it? And actually, you can speak to this too, John, because you're portraying Mark Andreessen, who started Netscape.
Mm-hmm. I played somebody real a movie or this past year for it was called The Front Runner. I played this guy Joe Trippi, who was like he's a political pundit, and so that was it was a small part, and it still was nerve wracking because the guy's alive, you know, he's gonna see it. And I actually met him at the premiere of the movie, and it's a surreal experience playing someone. It's very, very nerve wracking. This one probably made me more anxious because I didn't feel like I looked like this guy at all, and I felt, and I'm always intimidated to play really smart people. really,
that's true. You guys are playing literal geniuses.
Right. Yeah, that is the most intimidating. I mean, like, there is no one smarter than Mark when he speaks, and he knows it too. And that's all I was trying to do was just try to learn as much as I could about the subject that I was talking about. But it is
luckily they wrote the lines for us.
So yeah, thankfully we didn't have to write the lines.
Me make the internet.
me love internet. but yeah, it's incredibly intimidating because you want so deeply to stay true to who that person is, but at the same time you have to use yourself in order to to actually do the thing. And and how do you do it without caricaturing Mark?
Without it being like an impression.
And especially because Mark is a very unique individual, and when you listen to him speak, I mean, it's like he is on some kind of other plane of intelligence. Yeah. And I didn't want to ever make it seem where it looked like he was like a robot or a crazy person. Hopefully that doesn't... That's not what that looks like.
You also, when you're doing it, the more anxiety comes before, at least in my, in my experience. Because once you're doing it, you can't be sitting there thinking like, oh, I hope he likes this, because at the end of the day you're really not trying to make him happy, you're trying to make Matthew director and creator
trying to make
happy.
Dad happy.
Yeah, we want to make dad happy. And it is kind of like such a lovely gift to us that we got to do a show with the real people involved, and then also have it be so weird and breaking the fourth wall, so it kind of at least gets me off the hook. I don't have to be exactly like Mark, because there's like an obvious time where I'm like, I'm an actor and this is all crazy.
I think it was just about like capturing the essence of like what they really, you know, what they really did. For Steph, it's like he's a great communicator, and I really wanted to get that across, you know, and he had a lot of energy, so I think more so than like what are his exact mannerisms?
Right.
Because I don't know if that exactly serves the story that we're telling. You know, it's kind of a larger than life thing.
It's well said. It's you guys mentioned some of the unconventional techniques that this show uses to tell its story. And for those who haven't seen it, which I guess it hasn't premiered yet. So,
although you can watch the first two episodes on some apps right now.
So check
out. I don't really
know
exactly which apps.
On some
about.
Apps.
Check out those apps.
You can go to Pixelon and watch it. There.
Yeah, go to Pixelon and pay me. Just Venmo me $1,000.
At Polka with the best.
But what I was going to say is it's interesting because we have real life documentary footage of these founders, you know, relaying and remembering their early time in Silicon Valley. Then we jump to you guys recreating those moments with scripted scenes.
Yeah.
So I would think maybe as an actor that would add a little bit of added pressure because, you know, the audience is literally seeing it.
I just tried not to think about it.
Thankfully, Dakota is like a dead ringer for Steph. It's
you had it good. I was like, I had like a like Under Armour to stuff in my fat, so I looked like this little skinny
Todd
guy.
Is so skinny and small. Yeah, it's like, amazing. But you guys have a similar nug, man. Little nugget, you know.
It's deep in there. I think it was more about just like the biggest thing with the Globe was these two young guys kind of diving into this unknown, you know, uncharted territory, and working, you know, these college kids kind of being in this big business situation, and that's something
really nothing about it.
Yeah,
that's the part I could relate to most. I mean, it was like I moved out here as an act, you know, moved out here to be an actor. All of a sudden, I was 20 years old, and I got a movie.
You're in some dude's basement. It's really crazy.
I think as being an actor is a very similar situation. Right. You know, if you have any success, it's like all of a sudden you have to pretend like you know what you're doing.
Yes, it's that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, to be honest, totally. I mean, this particular show was so crazy because before that, I've worked a little bit, but before that, I hadn't actually been on a set for over a year.
Yeah,
and then like you get to the show and you have to pretend like I'm like chilling with Bradley Whitford, like I've been doing this for decades, and I'm like, yeah, you and me, man. It's
well, these are demanding roles for you guys too. I mean, like again, you're playing these geniuses, so it's. you know, your first film was Project X, and you're playing someone who's about your
He's
age.
A genius.
Yeah. He was a party genius.
I mean, you can make the argument.
Right? He
but
was
in this,
smart.
You know, it's like demanding vocabulary, and right. it's, you know, probably lingo that you guys haven't used before in jargon. Yeah. So it is, you know, this isn't, you know, an amateur type of, this is demanding work that you guys have
to do. It really means a lot that you're saying that. Yeah. I keep telling my mom how hard this job is, and she doesn't believe me, so.
Look at you.
Yeah, look at me now, Mom. It's hard, okay? I'm just joking. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. Yeah. So, you want to say hi to my mom?
Hi, Mom.
Okay.
It's my mom, too.
So, John, I want to talk to you about playing Mark Andreessen because, interestingly, you guys got a chance to meet Todd and Steph. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure that in some ways informs your performance, but you never got a chance to meet Mark to the point where the show actually kind of meta jokes about that in a way that I found very charming and interesting. But what was it like having not gotten the chance to meet the person you're portraying, knowing he's still alive?
It kind of, you know, what I was trying not to do is put him on too much of a pedestal. And really, what's so funny is that the only footage of Mark I was able to find was him in interview situations. And that's when he is, like, on so completely and on such an incredible wavelength. But I, like, read a lot of really... There was a really interesting New Yorker article that was written about him in the early 2000s that kind of dropped little things about how he was... Like, the Netscape time in his life was not a very easy time. Wow. And apparently he was eating really poorly at the time. He was, like, you know, like, drinking. Like, there was... Like, he was not necessarily in the best place. And that was informative, but... Really, a lot of, I mean, you know, I made a playlist myself. I heard another little tidbit that he, like, loves classical music, and so I made a playlist of all this crazy, bombastic classical music to listen to in the morning, and, I mean, you know, you really just hope. I, like, wrote him a big letter that was, like, trying to describe, like, I was like, hey, man, if you could just answer some questions about your music taste, that would really inform me, but he's not ever going to want to talk about his past, which I honestly think is the most exciting and fascinating thing about him. He's so active. He's like the head of the top venture capital firm in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's I just admire the hell out of the guy. Mm-hmm. It was really honestly, I was very honored.
And not that many people can relate to the kind of pressure that he was under as, like, a young CEO.
Young
kind
CEO.
Of against Microsoft, like, this tech giant.
And, I mean, he was basically, you know, you see in the show, you see all these coders getting together and talking and having a nice time. And Mark was very removed from all of that. And even though he was, like, the lead coder on Mosaic, which was basically the kernel of Netscape, you know, you see kind of he's a little isolated. And it's kind of sad. I don't know.
But I think that's how he kind of liked it.
I think he did kind of like it like that. Yeah. It's, you know, it's so funny because
Is he married?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I love it. His wife is perfect for him. I read this thing.
Her name is Siri.
Yeah, her name is Siri. I read this article that...
She's in all your parts.
She was like, yes, Mark checked off all the boxes for me. He's very intelligent, and I love that he's bald. I love to see the encasement of a man's cerebrum. And I was like, okay, you guys are perfect for each other. That's beautiful. But,
That's what I said to my wife on our wedding day.
Yeah, I just want to see your cerebrum,
honey. I just
want
to see your cerebrum.
I got the razor. We're shaving your head.
Yeah. Very romantic.
Yeah.
So we've danced around it, but there's a lot going on in this show, and I'm wondering what it's like as actors to show up to set. And of course, you're working with a brilliant showrunner. I love House of Lies.
Oh, man.
So
yeah.
House of Lies fans, same showrunner, same show.
I'm a huge fan of House of Lies.
I became a huge fan too.
So you know there's going to be some comedy in this show, right? Someone with his kind of mind probably doesn't want to just create a stale by the numbers. But how do you feel when you go in and you find out that there will be a choreographed number on set or someone's rapping? Like, what are you? Are you a little nervous as an actor?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
you know, yes, because we aren't dancers, especially
they had
me,
to
not
do
at all.
And
I remember
they didn't give us enough time to really.
Seeing some of the raw footage and going, how are they going to put this together? we have a take where there's this moment where we lean against each other. Oliver just keeps walking. So I lean and just kind of fall over.
I have great rhythm when I'm by myself.
And there's no beat.
No beat.
I can't. Yeah, you add all that stuff, I will lose it.
It's
also so fun.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's fun.
Yeah.
And just a lot of trust, though, right?
For yeah, sure. I mean, that was great. It's very easy to trust.
Have you seen
Matthew.
The final?
You I don't trust Matthew in a second.
Oh, I did see the final part of
it. I've got screen and I can send it to you if you want.
I meant the dance sequence. I saw early cuts of it.
They made us look a lot better than we did.
You look very
right
cool in it. Yeah. You have no right to look as cool as you do. That's true.
Yeah.
But there's probably a bit of a safety net because if you don't look super cool,
it's like they cut around cool. it.
And these are tech guys.
I tried to do one thing, which is just I tried to commit. And I was like, that's it. I think if you just commit to it, no matter how bad you are, people will
said
enjoy
you were
it.
A better dancer yeah. than I was, which hurt my feelings.
It's,
wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's not true.
That's tough. That's a tough one to hear.
I think he's still bitter about it.
Yeah. No.
But you're saying you really have to trust Matthew when you're getting the scripts and you're seeing what you have to be doing.
It's honestly, I hadn't ever really felt this in such an acute way where you were so stoked when the scripts came out. Every scene, you're like, what? This is so wild and crazy. Yeah. And it's, it was like you trusted him immediately. There was no question. It was very, very cool.
And
yeah.
he also trusted us a lot, you know? Yeah. It was like, I think the way Matthew works was just very supportive. And I think he cast right. And so, like, he didn't need to adjust that much, but it was he kind of like
he's also a calm. He's also got such a calming presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it makes you feel at ease and able to make choices and to ask questions and stuff. There's sometimes you go on jobs, you take that for granted. Sometimes you go on jobs and it's like you really like. You're just they tell you what to do and that's it.
You're more of a cog and less of a participant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
this really felt this, like that.
Yeah, like you were part of something.
Yeah.
Creating together.
Cool. Yeah,
pretty cool.
I'm sure the energy, like the spirit of the story you're telling, kind of affected the set too. You know,
absolutely. Unfortunately, I was hanging out with these two guys, so it's kind of like dull, but like yeah. tough.
yeah, that was the one bummer is we never got to actually. I mean, the one time we were on set together was I got to watch them do their dance number and we were together. But that we
hung out at the hotel. Sutton Place.
I actually have a funny story about the dance sequence. Because at the end of the dance sequence, I kiss like my girlfriend from the show, and he gets a dog, and the
and he kisses the dog.
It's so weird. Very uncomfortable.
So weird.
And
show got a little weird then.
Yeah, show got a little bit weird. And then
it's fine.
But the choreographer was like, okay, so in this last bit, they have, like, a little back and forth, and he's like, you guys just make out, like, for the whole time. I'm like, okay, and I tell Siobhan Williams, who's the actress, really lovely. And then we do it, and then the director, Tamara, is like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, well, you know, the choreographer told us to just make out, and so it totally looked like I just made up this.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Sexiest actor in Hollywood. Classic.
Trust me, we're just gonna make out for this whole thing.
Yeah. And Siobhan said, like, they really want us to make out. Like, I don't know.
I tried to kiss. Who was I gonna kiss?
Me. But
the dog. Yeah, the
no,
dog.
I was. But before that, I was gonna kiss somebody. Remember?
Really? Matthew.
Oh, no, no, no.
I didn't get to kiss anybody.
I was gonna, I kissed the dog. That was cool.
It's good. So I'm watching this show, and the main question I'm so interested in is, are the documentary talking heads, do they precede production, or do those come after? Are those informing your choices?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, most of it, I heard that they were doing it concurrently while we were filming the show. But
also beforehand.
And beforehand, but there was, like, an interesting time where one of the scripts, like, one of the second, I don't know if it's in the second episode, where, like, Mark is eating that pizza in the meeting, in the Microsoft meeting. That was, like, a kind of on-the-fly thing when they had interviewed somebody and they told this crazy story about how Mark orders a pizza in the meeting, but just for him. Mm-hmm. And, like, the Microsoft people are, like, thinking that he was shutting them out. And that was crazy. We got to shoot that like right when they heard that, and it was cool. It like was building off of each other, you know.
Yeah, but apparently Steph didn't know that it was a scripted series, and so he started doing the interview portion. He didn't know, and then there was like then he found out there was a casting out there for like Steph Paterno.
Wow!
But yeah, I mean, oh.
There you go.
Everything sorry, just comes.
That's cool.
So, no. Do they have any say in casting? Did Steph and Todd?
He absolutely did not want to cast.
No. Yeah. No, Mark requested me personally. Yeah. He was like, John is the only one who can play me.
Yeah, same Todd for Todd. It's like Oliver Cooper has to. Yeah. I can't imagine there's many people out there that's like, I want Oliver Cooper to play me.
I want you to play me.
Yeah, no, I would like. Yeah,
listen, if I was inside, I want you to play.
The AfterBuzz story.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. It's a good one. It's very interesting. You know, we're a scrappy
it's called
startup
after
as well.
The buzz.
So. Yeah, after the buzz. Yeah, after the buzz story. I love it. So my favorite movie of all time is The Social Network.
I love that movie.
Incredible.
It's interesting. That's such a monumental piece of filmmaking, and it's David Fincher. Mm-hmm. And did you guys ever feel like you were sort of with this, you know, just this pillar, this pinnacle of filmmaking, mm-hmm. sort of not creating in that movie's shadow, but just, you know, with that film sort of, did that inform any of what you guys were doing or?
Valley of the Boom is like Social Network, but it's like much, much better.
yeah, I mean, I just think it's just better in
was,
every way.
Yeah, it was kind of like eat your heart out.
I don't, think it informed. I mean, I didn't, to be honest, I don't think we ever talked about
no,
Social Network.
No, but I feel like when I saw it, it felt maybe in the vein of The Big Short a little
bit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's, I thought of that movie more, for sure,
for
Big
sure.
Short.
Because
yeah.
the show really, like, a big theme of the show is how the financial side of it mm-hmm. is what drove the boom and the bust. And, like, these guys throughout the show get basically taken advantage of by, mm-hmm. like, all of these friends of finance and all of this crazy shit. And, you know,
we're very vulnerable.
What?
Yeah, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it seems like a different entity, I would say.
Yeah, The Big Short's actually a really good reference for this because there is a lot of fourth wall breaking and,
right.
you know, sort of alternative techniques that you don't usually
sure.
see. I just saw Vice. I don't know if you guys have got
it. Oh, dude, yeah.
Not seen
I loved
it.
I loved
yeah.
to see
yeah.
it.
It's the same kind of, if you like the way the story is told in this, you'll definitely like Vice.
Yeah, honestly, I was watching Vice being like, man, this could easily have been, mm-hmm. like, this is like a Matthew Carnahan vibe right here
yeah.
with the Shakespeare
yeah.
scene mm-hmm. and everything.
Definitely.
I was like, this is...
Oh, yeah, he's got a very, yeah, they, very similar
yeah.
vibe.
Definitely.
To Adam K.
Yeah, sure.
Any other, like, major sort of rule-breaking moments on set that especially spoke to you guys as actors?
I don't know. You guys go first. I don't know.
Well, there's this kind of homage to John Woo, and but it's like a Nerf battle.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they're trying to get as many Nerf bullets flying through the air as possible. So we had the entire crew, including Matthew, shooting Nerf guns at us while we're kind of doing the scene, which was just, I mean, hilarious to witness. Is like, all right, action. It's like. Like 30, 40 people
yeah.
just
yeah.
all
yeah,
shooting
yeah,
Nerf guns.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, it was a crazy first day on set because the first day was when I, Mark's character kind of like breaks the fourth wall and pauses everything and kind of tries to break down
oh, right.
everybody who's in the meeting. And I remember just being like, I can't believe this is my first day back on the
everyone
job.
Has to be frozen
yeah,
while you
yeah.
do this.
Bradley Whitford has to like stand there frozen. I'm like, don't mess this up, John, because
yeah.
he's has to be frozen for you. It was wild, but
awesome.
It was cool, man. I had a good time.
That was such a cool scene, the way that was shot, and I think
totally.
It really cut together well.
I love it. I was honored to do, like, a House of Lies moment, too, man.
Yeah.
I love Don Cheadle when he does that. It's so cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I ever got to, I don't think I ever
House
broke the
Lies
wall.
Is oh, you never broke the wall?
I never broke
I,
the wall, yeah.
I do it firmly
within
the wall.
You know,
we do break the wall, because we're walking in the airport, and we're talking.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
yeah. That's right, yeah.
We all get to break the
yeah,
wall.
I feel like everyone gets
that,
to
and
we
I,
all break
yeah.
the
that
wall.
Is cool. I actually, it's great. That was actually fun, too.
It's fun. It's weird to look straight into a lens and try to pretend like that is... That's why I've watched Ferris Bueller, and I'm like, man, Matthew Broderick is incredible.
Oh, here. He's incredible.
I think let's
yeah.
pivot
yeah.
this whole interview
to
Ferris
Bueller's
Bueller.
Day.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
it is interesting, though, because for those not listening, or for those listening who might not know...
Right.
Your job as an actor is to not look down the barrel. Like, that's the one rule.
Oh, horrifying.
yeah.
Which I have done in my life.
Yeah.
I remember. Oh, it's terrifying.
That's I don't find
and
that to
realize...
be a difficult one, though. You like...
I've done it. It's hot. It sucks. It feels...
You did it? You did it on purpose?
No, obviously. Like... You're like, you know, well, sometimes the character's, like, right there. But
yeah.
You kind of accidentally...
Like, I'm more afraid of
it.
The camera
yeah.
than I am, like... I try to... When I'm working, for me, I try to ignore the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try to pretend that it's
deep,
not
dude.
There.
That's really...
I know.
Like
I'm just. If I see the camera
yeah.
in my peripheral vision, I get nervous.
Yeah, you want it to just.
I just.
Right.
I
mm-hmm.
I try to like.
You'd prefer like long lenses.
Yeah,
lens
yeah,
cameras
oh,
way
for
off.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 When I first moved here, just to sort of, you know, finance my living out here, I took a job as, you know, background acting.
Oh, very nice.
I'm not an actor at all. I love interviewing. I don't want to be on camera. Not yet, but if you give me, like, a script or ask me to embody a character, I just fall apart.
We do as well.
Yeah, I empathize completely.
But my first gig was on Scandal, which is pretty cool. It's a cool first time. You know, I'm like... Shonda Rhimes is right there.
Come on.
Huh? That's awesome. No, I thought you did Scandal.
No.
But the two rules of background acting are don't smile and don't look down the camera. And the first thing I do is I'm a White House aide just walking down and I just look over and smile at the camera. They used it. And so if you want to, I think it's season 3, episode 10.
They actually have you?
Yeah, like... they like just did not notice. And there's a screen grab of me.
Hilarious.
And I applaud you guys for doing the job that you do.
Thank you.
So that's it. That's
hilarious.
So with this show, what's something that you guys are really hoping someone, like people are going to take away from what they see?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because each story tells a different facet of something that could easily happen again. I mean, the show, especially by the end of it, talks about next steps. I mean, where can the internet go now?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, to watch the origins of something like this and to realize that the internet only really happened like 20 years ago, which is such a short amount of time in human history.
For how much it's affected.
For how much
everything.
It's changed everything. We just have to start thinking about what we can do. What is Internet 3.0? Mm-hmm. You know, because there are much more... There's a lot of problems, obviously, with it. And we all know that as a society now. I feel like we're all, like, in our teenage years with the internet right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're all trying to figure out how to make it, like, a real viable connection tool rather than just, like, this morass of... You know, bullshit.
But trolling angstiness.
Yeah.
Trolling angstiness.
So I think that's what I hope people take away is that, you know, this started from somewhere and this started for, you know, reasons to change the way that we connect.
And that's like so beautiful. It's like the idea of the internet and especially of social media, the idea is to connect. And I think that like when
it's just gone wrong.
Well, I mean, it's just it's so easy to misuse. But I think it's just kind of like what John said. It's like I think to understand where we're going, we have to understand where we came from. And I think the show is trying to show that because you know, internet business doesn't necessarily leap off the page.
No,
when I think about it, but like. It's actually a really fascinating time, and I think the storytelling really supports
it. And I think it's, like, really important to realize how much the business of it all kind of screwed it up, in a way. Because it kind of got in the way of people like Steph and Todd, who are, you know, Steph talking in his interviews about the show... is still just as passionate about the Globe than he was. Because he really, I mean, he believed in something so true, and... Yeah. You know, it gets all crazy because
of the money.
Do you
mean to say money can corrupt?
I think that is
money
what
and
I'm
fame,
starting to learn.
I think that's, it's really good. People become really chill after
money makes people nicer.
Yeah, it relaxes them. It does not bring out the worst.
No, certainly not.
Cool. I want to applaud you guys on the show. It's really interesting, and I think you guys are all doing really great work on it.
Thank you
really,
so much.
I was watching it and very excited to interview you guys.
Thank you.
So you guys need to check out this show. It's airing on National Geographic. You can stream the first two online right now, but the show premieres...
January
13th.
Same day as
Sunday.
New season of True Detective.
Nice.
And I've been calling Mahershala every night. We're both very excited about our premiere.
You had a good night last night, by the way.
Why are you telling them about that show?
Because True Detective's... I don't know. I hope it's good.
No, it's different time slots.
And Valley of the Boom. Valley of the Boom is important. Don't watch different time slots. You can have one night where you watch both.
No, you watch both. It's different time slots.
Yes,
that's why you're saying
that's
it.
That's why I'm saying
it. As a prerequisite to True Detective,
you should, only
to
thing you watching on Sunday is Valley of the Boom.
That's true. You don't get
the only thing. Then, not then, True Detective. You watch that on Monday.
Watch that on Monday.
I mean, we all saw season 2 of True Detective.
You're getting called
shots
out
fired.
Sorry, season 1 was just so good.
So good.
Yeah, it was impossible to follow that up. I have a good feeling about season 3, but we're not talking about True Detective. We're talking about Valley
I have a
the
really
Boom.
Good feeling about season and, 1 of Valley of the Boom.
Yeah, and you know what? I can say for a fact, I have an assuredly good feeling about season 1 of Valley of the Boom because I'm watching it. It's great, guys.
That's cool.
Thank you.
This Sunday on Nat Geo. Check it out. It's great. So while I have you guys here, I want to talk with you about some other stuff, because I'm fans of all of your work.
Oh, cool.
John, I'll start with you. Lady Bird is my favorite movie I saw last year.
Dude, thanks for saying that.
You're welcome. That was great.
I felt the same way about that movie. That was
so
crazy.
Good. I mean, yeah, the performances. Especially Laurie Metcalf in that movie. So good.
Amazing.
Really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
What was it? I love Greta Gerwig. I think she's a really interesting kind of force, because she's an actress and a director. And what was she like to work with?
She was a truly, like, beautiful presence, honestly. Mm-hmm. She had this really cool thing that she learned from her partner, Noah Baumbach. He apparently on his sets would always have name tags.
Yeah.
So everybody on the crew had name tags. Everybody was calling each other by their first names, and it was, like, crazy. I was only working on that movie for about a week, and a lot of that was rehearsing for the High School Musical that I was a part of. And the collaboration between everybody was so crazy. And I remember the one time that Greta and I actually got to, like, have a nice little talk is right before there's this scene where Lucas's character is kind of found to be kissing a boy in the bathroom, and I'm that sweet boy.
Yes.
And I remember she was, like, so kind, and she sat us both down together, and it kind of, like, allowed us all to really jive before Lucas and I started making out in the bathroom stall.
Which was Lucas a good kisser?
A phenomenal kisser. Lucas, you got it going on, my friend. Thank you for the memories. Thanks for the memories.
He's had a good year, too.
Ah, great year. Yeah. We talk every night. So
nice. I love it.
You, bro.
We just done a 3-way group chat. But no, man, she was incredible.
That's great. She's one of those directors who you know is just going to be such a force.
And I told her that, and I was so lame in the audition. I just had to sing a musical theater song for her, and as I was leaving, I was like, "Hey, Greta, I just got to tell you, like, you know, Frances, I watched that movie when I moved to LA, and it was so beautiful." Yeah. And you know, she was really sweet.
I'm sure she loved it.
She was amazing.
Artists like to hear that their work means something.
I hope so. So.
Well, that's awesome. So, Oliver, we're a TV coverage network, and we have tons of Red Oaks fans, so I would be remiss not to talk about it, but I love that show, and that's another show that's kind of leaning into nostalgia, I think, in a similar way to Valley of the Boom is. Just, like, maybe 2-3 minutes on what that show sort of meant and what that experience was like.
2 or 3 minutes?
2 or 3 minutes?
See what you got.
On what that show meant?
Yeah, just, like,
to
sort
me
of...
To me or to...
To you, yeah. What your experience was like on that show.
I love all the jobs I've done, but that was truly an amazing job. That came at just a perfect time in my life. It was, I probably got that job when I was like 23, and we'd shoot summers in New York. Maybe I was 24, but and I got to work with unbelievable directors like David Gordon Green, Hal Hartley, and so many other cool. I'm blanking out. Amy Heckerling, who I was trying to think of.
Oh, yeah.
And she's unbelievable. I mean, she's Clueless. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Steven Soderbergh produced it.
Yeah.
So just getting to be in that world, playing the 80s. Greg and Joe, who wrote that show, it was about their kind of. It was really about Greg's. Greg was worked at a country club as a tennis assistant tennis pro, and. I just had so much fun. I mean, I got to play. When I got that part, I was playing like the stoner friend character, and it sort of became this
hot guy role, right?
Not the hot guy role. I was always that character, but they really embraced sort of this soulfulness and relationship aspect of it, which guys like me just don't normally get an opportunity to play.
Interesting.
And that was a lot of fun. To be honest with you, that to me was this acting I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Always wanted to play like romantic leads. Like everybody wants to do that.
Right.
But you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, that's not going to be me. so that job had, you know, it was so cool to have an opportunity, you know, before that, I had done Californication was the only series that I had been on, and I came in on the 7th season of that. So this was my first real series regular role where you felt like a part of something from the ground up. And it's so similar to this too, because although there's only one season of this, it was to be a part of something, you know, and get to be, you feel creative camaraderie,
build it together.
And that job I will forever love. Like, I think it's kind of got a little cult following. I'm so proud of that show, and I love Craig and I, he plays David, the lead of that show, are like still really close friends.
I love
and
that.
We lived together in New York when we were shooting it, so it was you could not have a better job than that job.
Yeah.
I might hopefully have a more successful career, but like that job will always be one of the better jobs.
It'll always be the peak for you.
Yeah. It might be.
It won't be, Oliver.
Dakota, yeah. How about you? I mean, I was very impressed to see you've sort of just flown out of the gate because typically
this is my
people...
first and last job.
Well, it's atypical because usually people will, you know, build to a series regular. They'll, you know, guest star on some network show and then. But you, you know, are a top-billed actor on a show.
He did have a guest star on Showtime's The Affair, where he plays a hot boy.
That is a great show. Student.
Yeah, I mean, The Affair is really great. I have a very, very small part in The Affair. I felt incredibly grateful to be able to be a part of something, first of all, that was so enjoyable to make, and also, like, that I really felt so proud of for my first thing, and also met these really wonderful guys.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, but...
I love you, man.
I love you, too.
It's getting weird.
I'll say something about Dakota though, because what he was when we were shooting this, I remember being. I think I told him this, which was I was blown away by. When I was 22, you were 22 when shooting.
Yeah,
I could not have done what he did.
Yeah,
like he cared. I mean, like especially of our storyline. Like I'm playing off of him. He carries the storyline, and he just. So there's a lot going on. It's not just like a, you know, when I was 22 and I did Project X, I just had to scream the whole time and be like, crazy person. Like, I just don't think I could have, I don't think I had the talent or the work, I guess you'd call it, to be able to do what he did at that age. And effortlessly he did it. So I was really impressed by that.
Yeah, it was very cool.
It's really nice. Yeah. I'm very touched by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did do great work, Dakota.
Thank you so much.
I mean, absolutely. Like, you know, maybe lay off a bit, but you were good.
Just, much. What's next, though? What's next for all you guys? Obviously, this show, which one more time, guys, this Sunday, it's great, Nat Geo. You've never seen a show 13th. Like it. So I highly urge you guys to check out the show. But what else beyond this show? Anything that you guys are looking forward to down the pike? What would you like to do, maybe, if there's nothing immediately slated?
I'm getting a job at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to start working at Dunkin' too.
Our CEO and founder, Maria Menounos, used to work for Dunkin' Donuts.
Excuse me.
If you could maybe...
Right. I do love the donuts. I love the donuts.
Yeah, yeah. She's still got a good relationship with them.
Yeah, so. I think the three of us are all just happily looking for another job.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
So,
yeah.
Oliver's got some
exciting
stuff.
Well, I did this movie, The Front Runner, that came that just came out. That's unfortunately, I think it's a really good movie with Hugh Jackman. He's absolutely incredible. I think it was one of the best performances.
I heard Hugh Jackman really is not that nice of a guy. Yeah.
The opposite.
He seems like it.
Such an unbelievable guy.
Real stick in the mud.
Such an unbelievable guy. So I did that. That just came out. So hopefully people go see that movie now. I think when it streams. And I have something else coming out, but I'm not even allowed to. They're so secretive about it.
Right. So, that's cool.
And hopefully get, you know, like, I'm just trying to...
Keep working.
It'd
be so lovely
cool
to do
stuff.
More... Honestly, like, the TV miniseries is such a cool,
such a cool
thing
format
to be a part of. Because it's, like, it's the movies of our time right now.
It's a long film.
Our long film, yeah.
And it's interesting because you guys are coming up in a climate where TV's much more sort of reputable than it used to be.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, like, Meryl Streep's about to do Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies!
Very exciting.
We got Streep.
Yeah,
we got Streep.
TV got Streep.
TV got Streep, y'all.
Everybody's doing TV now.
Yeah.
I started it, but...
You can almost make the argument, I think, that like maybe we're at a tipping point when TV is viewed with a bit more prestige than film. Like,
dude, but that's so sad. Like, I know this is a TV. I love TV. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But like, I keep hearing that. People are like, the death of the movie.
I don't think it is. I think what's going to happen is that, and you're seeing it now with Netflix, is they're making movies now.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, because people still love the format of an hour and a half, 2 hour movie. And I'm not alone here, I love going to the theaters.
Absolutely.
So we're all going to the theaters, and everybody wants to go to the theaters. Maybe not for everything. Maybe there's too many movies going to the theaters, but like I still love to go for certain.
Yeah, maybe we should just go back to the days of just 2-3 movies playing at a theater.
That'd be great.
Like, I honestly think that'd be amazing.
Why
not?
I think the truth is.
Actually, I don't know. Actually, no, because I'd never
Why
be in
would
the
you
movie.
Want to see less movies?
Well, I'm saying that, like, no one's going to go see Hurricane Heist when it comes out in 2025. You know what I mean?
What's Hurricane Heist?
It's a movie that came out this year that I saw because of MoviePass, but it's terrible. It's but true. It's great.
RIP MoviePass.
Sorry to I think any what we're dancing around, Heist, though, yeah. is that, like, the cream rises, right? I mean, like, if Hopefully it's TV so. Or if it's film, if it's good, it'll get yeah. seen. And,
yes.
you know, I watched a show on Facebook this year called Sorry for Your Loss. Did any of you see this show?
I saw the trailer for it. It looks fantastic. Didn't James Ponsel do that?
Yes, James Ponsel. Yeah. It's so good. I mean, he's a genius, but it's like truly one of the best shows I've seen this year.
Buddy Mamadou's in that too.
Oh, Mamadou, yeah, he's really good. Yeah. He's great in it. He plays lead, actually. Yeah.
What is it like? What is it as a Facebook show? Is it different from
other
shows?
It's a half hour drama,
huh.
but it's pretty funny. And, and if you've seen any Ponsel stuff like Spectacular Now or End of the Tour,
I
it's
love
that same
End show. Of the Tour is incredible.
Yeah, End of the Tour is great.
Let me some David Foster Wallace.
Like the End of the Tour, we are actually at the end of our interview, guys. We need to actually head out. But Facebook is on the internet. This show's about the internet, which is Valley of the Boom, guys. You need to check out this show. I really, really enjoyed what I've watched, and I can't wait to finish it.
Thank you.
You guys do really great work in the show. So
thank you.
Pat yourself on the back.
Thank
really
you.
Enjoyable.
And to Mahershala Ali, you also do great work.
Yes.
Just all the time.
People seem to agree that he's a decent actor.
Yes, and I love you, Mahershala, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. But make sure you guys check out the show one more time. That's Valley of the Boom on Nat Geo. It is premiering this Sunday. So check that out, Sunday evening. Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can do that at Jeffrey C. Graham. If you want to see more of what I'm doing here, I host a show on Wednesdays called TV Pilot Reviews, where we review a new pilot every week. I also, it's on hiatus right now, but I host a weekly show called The Unproduced Table Read, where I and a group of six actors read unmade award-winning scripts and interview their writers.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome. If you guys ever want to be on it, otherwise it's a
prank. Oh, my God, it's you.
I'll talk to your people if you guys want to be on it. But when we return, that'll be soon. That's Fridays at 10 a.m. on our sister network, The Popcorn Talk. How about the rest of you guys? Where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a blue check mark, but I don't know. That's it. Johnny_Karn.
Yeah. Find me on your local street corner. my Instagram is at Dakota Shapiro. That's really the only social media I have.
At the Oliver Cooper on Twitter. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your mother. Oliver's got a lot of pithy things to say.
I say a lot of stuff that you're going to like to read.
All right, and with that, guys, we're out of here. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.